Friends, I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Oh God, God of peace, God of healing, God of love, God of compassion, God of affliction, and God of comfort, we pray this morning that you would push us to be better as individuals, as a society. God, that you would push us to love one another more deeply so that we might be more like you. As I speak this morning, God, I pray that somehow you might speak through me, that you would give each of us that are here and online ears to hear what you want us to hear, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might even be willing to be transformed. God, help us to take a breath this morning and allow your Holy Spirit to infiltrate each and every one of us. And might we get out of the way so that that can happen. In Jesus' name, amen. So I learned something last week that I didn't know. I learned that there is a place in Hawaii that is still a leper colony. It's a place where people who are dealing with the illness of leprosy have to go, and they go and they live there, and there is a Catholic priest named Father Damien. Father Damien received that assignment to go and be the priest for this group of people. Can you imagine receiving that assignment? To go live amongst people that no one else wants to be near, people that are declared untouchable, people that have lost some of their humanity because the world has said your illness puts you on the outside. Now, Father Damien took this role very seriously. He bandaged the wounds and he cared for the people. He engaged them. He built shelters so that they would have home. He built caskets out of wood for need. In fact, he was so ingrained in their lives that he would actually, when bandaging them, he would touch them to put the bandages on, which was forbidden. And he wouldn't always wash his hands in between because things were happening and he needed to be with the people. There was one Sunday he got up, they were having a time of worship, and he kicked off worship with, "We lepers." Father Damien had contracted leprosy. He now had it. And no longer was it an him and them thing. He was now one of them. He was one of the people. He was one with them because he had not allowed their untouchability to define their relationship. It was really, really important to him that he completely get ingrained with the people. He didn't simply live amongst them. He became part of them. Imagine a world where a simple touch could cost you everything. Where a simple touch could transform your life. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to talk about that through the lens of this series that we're looking at called Love Your Neighbor. Gosh, it feels so basic, doesn't it? It feels like such a simple thing. If we could simply love our neighbors, how might things change? How might things be different? It seems to some, people have told me, we started this series last week, that this now seems an impossibility. Oh, for goodness sakes, friends. Jesus tried to make it really clear that this was possible. In fact, the way that Jesus said it was, love God with all of who you are and love your neighbor as yourself. If you remember nothing else, remember those two things. And we're in a season, frankly, we should be in a life where we're trying to deeply follow Jesus. What does that look like? How do I do that? How do I make sure that I'm trying to live the life that Jesus has called me to? And last week, I asked you all to do the work. By the way, we love kids with noises. And I mean that in all seriousness. No, do not be sorry. No. Listen, I always take a moment when this happens. There are lots of churches that have no kids with noises. Do we love noises? Amen. 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 Thank you. Do not be sorry. And if you're embarrassed, that was me just a few years ago. It's fine. Where was I? Oh, last week. Last week in worship, I asked you to define neighbor. and we put it up on the screen, and you did a Menti poll, and you told us who your neighbor was, and it all boiled down to one thing. You said, neighbor is the human being. Neighbor is every single person. And we laughed. I don't know if you were here last week at 11, but somebody put best pastor ever, and I was super excited about it. That was my literal neighbor. Like, literally, my neighbor who lives next door, little girl, she put that. So I felt honored. I got home. It was very exciting. But anyway, back to the details. How do we love the human in our midst? I want to talk about the untouchable, because that seems to be a reality of our world, and it was a reality in the first century as well. In the first century, the idea was that leprosy made someone untouchable. It was a skin disease, and when you were deemed to have leprosy, you were instantly ostracized from community. You lost your job, you lost your family, and you literally had to go live somewhere else. No one was legally allowed to touch you, and you were on the outs. You were put on the outside of society. You were told in no uncertain terms, you do not belong here. You are not welcome. I want to look at a passage of Jesus and an interaction that he has from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 8. It says, now when Jesus had come down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. A man with a skin disease came, kneeled before him, and said, Lord, if you want, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and what? Touched him, saying, I do want to become clean. Instantly, his skin disease was cleansed. Jesus said to him, don't say anything to anyone. I love when Jesus does that. Don't say, because Jesus knows darn well they're going to go tell people. But he says, don't say anything to anyone. Instead, go and show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded. This will be a testimony to them. Y'all, I don't know if you can sense it in this moment, but this guy has gotten out of isolation. He finds himself in the middle of where Jesus is coming down the mountain. He is desperate for healing. This guy is desperate to be welcomed back into society. He is desperate to do something. And he breaks every social and religious norm, because what he does, Jesus is walking down the hill and he stops him. And he kneels in front of him as if to say, hey, buddy, you're not going anywhere. Can you imagine the faith that this guy had? Imagine the faith that he had to put himself in this very dangerous position of interacting with someone who did not have leprosy, to put himself in this dangerous position of the Son of God walking down the hill and saying, I believe that if I get in front of you, it is going to transform something. To have the faith not only that Jesus could heal, but that Jesus would stop in front of him. I mean, look at the verse again. It says, a man with a skin disease came, kneeled before him and said, Lord, if you what? Okay, let's try that again. Lord, if you want, you can make me clean. Now, I think that's an interesting choice in words. He doesn't say, Lord, if you want, you can heal me. What does he say? Lord, if you want, you can make me what? Clean. Why? Because he feels dirty. He feels like he is not valued. He feels like he is not an important part of society, that he doesn't matter anymore. He feels unsuitable for human consumption. There is no way that you could love me. Now, this is powerful what happens here. What Jesus does is very Jesus. It's very Jesus because he does the unthinkable. He does something that much of society will be. Jesus does something that is transformative. Why does it matter that he actually touches him? What's the big deal? Here are three things that make it matter. Here's the first thing. It was illegal to touch a leper. It was against the law. Jesus broke the law in that moment and touched the leper. Here's the second thing. Jesus broke the isolation in this man's life. Can you imagine how long it's been since somebody touched him? You know, a hug, a handshake, a well done, nobody forever, and Jesus has touched him. Here's the third thing. Jesus invited him back into humanity by restoring his humanity. See, the touch that Jesus gives to this man is not simply a physical touch. It's a spiritual touch. It's a, your life has value to God. It's a transformative thing. I can't tell you the number of people that I've had conversations with that if I simply say to them, you know, God does love you, it's a transformative thing for them. And Jesus takes that a step further by displaying it, showing it. And I was thinking, who are our modern day lepers today? Who are the people that sometimes when we're in the midst of society, we would say, you stay over there and we're gonna walk this way. Well, we talked about the shelter and our relationship with the shelter. Today, sometimes folks who are unhoused are modern day lepers. There are people who we say, you stay in your lane. There are lots of other groups that we put in that category. Those who are dealing with mental illness, we often say, that's too much for me. Let's put that person over there. We do it often with people who come from different places than we do, with immigrants. We do it with people who have different political views than us. We do it with those who are in prison and those who are out of prison. As people come out of prison, we treat them as if they're still in. Friends, we have modern day lepers today that we seem to want to just love from a distance. If I could just love you from a distance, it would be easier. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't love them from a distance. He loves them up real close. He gets right up and connects with them. And how do we follow this example that Jesus gives us? How do we restore humanity to people? See, here's the problem for us. If we want to really love people, we actually have to engage humanity. It's why I actually have come to hate social media. And I really mean it. Somebody said the other day, we should kill social media for 30 days in the U.S. and see what happens. Boy, what an experiment, huh? If it just went away for 30 days. Because you know what the problem with social media is? You can be nasty and you don't have to engage anybody. You can say whatever you want. You can be nasty back to someone who's making a post. There was a lot of nastiness that I saw this week. Anybody else see nastiness this week? I saw lots of nastiness, lots of vitriol. And you know what? That doesn't require us to engage anybody. Jesus didn't get on Facebook and write things. Thanks be to God. And for you younger generations, he didn't TikTok either, right? We have to engage humanity. You know what I love about our relationship with the shelter? We're actually getting to engage the guests that are there. We're actually getting to be connected with people, to learn their story. So friends, how do we do this? What do? First thing, we have to acknowledge someone's humanity. Jesus does that really, really well. He does it in this moment. He sees the man for who he is. He doesn't see him as a leper. He sees him as a beloved child of God. What if we could do that with every person that we interacted with? What if we didn't see them as X? We saw them as a beloved child of God. What if we didn't walk across the street from someone, but we actually walked past them? If we actually engaged them? I have found that when I've been on service trips or I've been in places where I've been around folks who are unhoused, simply speaking to them is a transformative moment in and of itself. Engaging, connecting, important. Acknowledge the humanity. Here's the second thing, and this one gets real hard. And I gotta tell you, Tim's working on himself in this, so I'm gonna name it. We have to engage in uncomfortable conversations. Jesus does that so much. He does it so well. He engages in the uncomfortable conversation. He asks the questions. He wants to understand. Why do you believe what you believe? Where are you coming from? How do you have this understanding? And then he says, here's where I am, but he names it. He puts out there, and here's the problem with having uncomfortable conversations. Sometimes you're not gonna get the answer that you want. Sometimes you're gonna have the uncomfortable conversation, and you're gonna go, oh, wow. That really surprised me. But I bet you more often than not, when you have the uncomfortable conversation, you can start to move closer together rather than moving further apart. When we're willing to have the dialogue, it's hard. I get it. And I'm not just talking about politics. For goodness sakes, if you came today and you think, oh, I'm talking about politics, get off social media. I'm talking about being engaged with people in society who we have put on the outside. I think there's so much division that comes in so many areas of our lives. We have to engage in these uncomfortable conversations. Here's the next thing. Oh, we have to break social taboos and show unconditional love. Jesus does this. He does this by touching this guy. But I actually think, call me crazy, the one who breaks the biggest social taboo is the guy. He busts out of society. He kneels in front of Jesus and he says, if you want to, you can make me clean. He does it. Years ago, I was in Honduras. I think it was the first time I ever went. We work with a great organization down there called Leadership Mission International. It was my first time I'd ever been there. And these are young women who have graduated high school and they're in a post-high school graduate program. And I'm there, and there was this teacher who was teaching their social justice classes to the second-year students. And what they recognized was a lot of these women, because they grew up in a society where women were rejected and women were put down, they had to learn that, number one, that society is not correct and that the gospel is bigger than that. And the teacher came to me, and she said, you're a pastor. And I said, still, yes, that's still true. And she said, I want you to do me a favor. And I truly believe, I said at 9, I thought she came to me the day before. I think she came to me the morning of. And she said, would you teach my students today? And I'm like, teach them what? What do you want me to teach them? And she said, I wonder, would you be willing to come in and do a lecture on how to love people who are different from you? And specifically, she said, would you lecture specifically on how to love people who are part of the LGBTQ community? And I was like, wait a second. Honduras, a country where you can be brutally harmed for being part of the LGBTQ community, a country where people don't talk about it, a country where it is very shameful. You want me, the guy who they met yesterday, to come in and talk to them about this? She said, absolutely. And I said, okay. Because, you know, I love a challenge. And I walked in and I started from this perspective. And I talked about Christ's call to love God with all of who you are and love your neighbor as yourself. And I asked a question of the young women. I said, how do you love someone who's part of the LGBTQ community? And one of the girls raised her hand. I kid you not. 5 seconds in. She goes, you avoid them. But seriously. And she meant it sincerely. I'm not trying to make fun of them. Please hear this. She meant it deeply, sincerely. She said, you avoid and you go. And I said, what if they're your next door neighbor? She goes, you don't look at them, because if you do, you're going to judge them. And I said, let's take this a little bit further. I said, you don't have to agree with anything I'm saying today. I'm the new guy that came to visit. But let's look at Jesus. Jesus might go a little further than avoiding someone. Jesus might ask them questions. Jesus might shake their hand. Jesus might tell them they are a beloved child of God. And we went and we had more dialogue, and the girls opened up much more. And throughout the week, these girls came to me, several of them one by one, in tears, and said, I've never been told that I'm allowed to love someone like that. I've never been told. And listen, friends, I wasn't trying to change people's mind. That's not my job. That wasn't my goal. But my goal was to help them understand what it means to love people. Friends, to love someone is not to avoid them. It's not to treat them as if they are untouchable. It is not to treat them as if they are unclean. It is not to treat them as if God has no capacity for love for them. Because the calling that Jesus gives us, and we see it in this story, in this moment, is the calling that each of us have on our lives, and it doesn't matter what the untouchables are that you have declared. It's to make a conscious effort to welcome and not just tolerate someone. To welcome someone, we have to learn their story. You know how easy it is to put someone on the outside and develop a story for them? Anybody ever done that? You ever developed a narrative for somebody that you don't know at all? You ever developed a story of how they got to the place they got? Well, this must be, they must have done X, they must have done Y. You can't get to that narrative if you ask them the story. It's so easy for us to not be like Jesus. Because look at what he does. It says, Jesus said to him, don't say anything to anyone. Instead, go and off and show yourself to the priest, which he would have never been able to do before, and offer the gift that Moses commanded. This will be a testimony to who? To them. He's not saying this is going to transform you. He's not saying this makes your life better. This is going to change the priests. This is going to help the priest. Can you imagine Jesus going, hey, go see them because it's going to be transformative for them. Powerful stuff that Jesus does right here. So I want to invite us to do something this morning. Because Jesus didn't just say tolerate the leper. He reintroduced the leper to society. As I wrap up, I want to invite you to do something. Take a breath. Okay, that was a shallow breath. Take a real one. Take a deep breath. I'm not going to try to tell you who your untouchable folks are. I'm not going to try to command you that you need to do this thing with this neighbor or this thing, but I am going to invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to come in, to breathe in the Holy Spirit that convicts and comforts, and allow the Holy Spirit to convict and comfort us, because there may be, just might be somebody this week that Jesus is telling you to give a little touch to. There may be, just might be somebody this week who feels so dirty in society that your little touch can say, hey, God loves you. Whatever the story is, may it be so. Amen.